Good morning. Thank you for your patience. Let's see. So I'm Faina from Salt Lake City, Utah. I work for those that came late with the National Tongan American Society. And so my presentation this morning, of course, is I'll be talking about I work with an organization that's called Community Faces of Utah, which works with five different organizations with five different ethnic groups: Pacific Islanders, Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders, Hispanic, African American, Native American, and refugees. And so together we kind of, these are all the contributing authors to this presentation that also helped to pull this. So not only is the five organizations working together to make a difference, or at least to help women's health in the different communities, but we also partner with some of the folks from the University of Utah and also the Utah Health Department. And so they've been very resourceful, and of course many of our organization is quite small. Like ours is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and so with the technical assistance and all the resources provided by the University of Utah and Utah Health Department, we've been able to assist, do some of the things in our community that I'll be talking about. So basically I'll just give a little background, talk about what are some of the issues, or at least looking at one of the main issues is obesity amongst our communities. And so that was one thing that we had all decided to work on and look at, and how that affects many of the, in different ways, in our different ethnic groups. Then I'll look at some of the questions that we had asked in some focus group that each of the communities had implemented, and then look at some of the recommendations that was forwarded by, or at least gathered from, these focus groups, and then some few other things. So basically, the individuals who belong to a minority racial or ethnic population generally have a higher rate of obesity. Utah is basically a healthy state when you look at the overall, but when you start pulling out the ethnic population, you'll begin to see some differences that our numbers, the ethnic population numbers, in as far as health related, is quite, the risks are quite high in many areas. The disparity is also well known. And of course, the disparities that we as a group have decided to address was obesity, because some of the things that we've seen that's out there really did not work for some of our women, was especially because we partnered with this particular project with the University of Utah's Women and Girls Department, and so we wanted to try to make a difference in that area. And of course, in finding out and looking at some of the things that we want to address here, or at least in this project, is the very low rate of physical activity amongst our women, why that is, and we wanted to try to find that, and also look at some of the cultural and social determinants that is the foundation oftentimes for the lack of physical activity or the increase of obesity. So here's the percentage of Utah adults, and so when you look at this number, you'll see the high rate, and especially in Utah, the Pacific Islanders has the highest rate of obesity, and not only amongst the adults, but we in 2011 we did a survey amongst youth between the ages of 12 to 17. They too had the highest rate of obesity in Utah. And so we have a very, when you look across this, there is a high rate of obesity amongst the different ethnic group. And so I'm gonna I'd like to introduce Edwin. Edwin is, he was in the beginning of our stuff, so he's part of this. And I'm introducing it so that when there's questions later on, he's going to answer it. But Edwin is the Native American representative in this Community Faces of Utah as we gather. So he's the representative from that area. So, also the percentage of Utah, of looking at women, of the obesity there. So again, when you look at this, you'll see that African American women have a very high rate, and then right behind them are the Pacific Islanders and Native Americans. So again, when you pull the ethnic numbers out, you'll see the different rates of obesity. And this is the percentage of Utah women who do not do physical activity. So this is also another issue that we had wanted to try to identify. Why is it that our women are not getting out there? Why are they not exercising? Why are they not? And even when they're given free opportunities to exercise and membership and other things, they're still not accessing it when it's even made available. So you'll see that there's a very high rate of inactivity or sedentary lifestyle. So these are some of the questions. And when we look at these are these high rates are, we kind of based our questions around that. And this is the percentage of women. Oh, we did that. Okay. So these are, we kind of centered everything around these this thought here. Is why is there a high rate of obesity amongst the individual in our minority groups? And why are women especially affected? So like I said earlier, what we did is we put together the Community Faces of Utah, a coalition of this underserved five different ethnic groups that's underserved. And in all of Utah, this is probably the only organization that has a compilation of five different ethnic groups partnering with the university and the Utah Health Department to try to address different health issues. And of course, it gets out there, and so we've had several departments, several organizations that have approached us to try to penetrate, I guess, the communities, the ethnic communities, because they have services. But oftentimes, it's very difficult to get to those population or to those underserved population because, of course, there are trust issues. People usually don't allow people to just come in, you know, just to do whatever it is that they want. And so it's very difficult to access. So they use the Community Faces of Utah to get in and try to do some of that. So that was the case with this when we did, and when we decided to do this partnership with the partnership with this one here, with the UAG. But this is here, the National Tongan American Society, and then we have the Best of Africa as representing the refugee community. We also have the Hispanic Healthcare Task Force and the Calvary Baptist Church, and then also the Urban Indian Center of Salt Lake City. So this is the makes up the Community Faces of Utah. The only thing that's missing, well, of course, down here they have the University of Utah and other areas, so that's included. But the UAG, so through this partnership here, is we hired, through a grant that came from the University of Utah, we hired two community health coaches, or community wellness coaches is what we decided to call them, in each of the five different communities. And it was through these health coaches and also the leaders in each of the communities. Each of the communities were able to run their focus group and try to determine some of the things or get feedback from the community in regards to obesity. And then, of course, just our own committee, the Community Faces of Utah, well, our representatives from our community, and we work very closely with our different communities. So many of us were able to speak from that perspective. So some of the methods or some of the things that we were looking that we looked at and identified, of course, are the social determinants. Is the education level of many of our community is quite low. Also the income level and the housing. Many of our folks live in urban area and in areas where there are no sidewalks. So oftentimes there's no lighting in parks and things like that. So it's very difficult for our folks to get out there and do exercise at time when they come back from work and the likes. And so those were some of the problems. And then also just one of the things that we identified was just our own individual behavior, in addition, because of our cultural upbringing. And so we'll touch upon that after this, some of the things that were shared by some of our folks. Our beliefs and our home practices, our cultural norms and upbringing. So some of the common themes throughout the whole group, the Community Faces of Utah, or at least some of most of them, is that women are often the center of the homes. And because women are the centers of the home, it was very important for us to focus on women, because they not only affect themselves, but their families and their spouses and their children. Also that men in some of these communities hold a dominant role and often have a say in what women do. Women are also, in some of the communities, are not expected to exercise. In fact, it wasn't very ladylike, or it just wasn't the thing to do. Some of the men also preferred women that were slightly larger. They didn't like the skinny women, so that also had effect on that, which I was glad to see. And overall, there is, and maybe that's a problem in itself, overall, there's a need also to improve the self-efficacy of these women, especially in these populations. Here are some of the things that we had gotten from some of the focus groups that we have held in, amongst Pacific Islander women. Some of them says that mom will not go and exercise, even though her doctor tells her it's like pushing a goat. It's really so. And some said, you know, we just need a van. And the number two and number three is kind of like the same. They just, one of the things is, we need a van where it goes around and picks everybody up. It has to be a social thing for Pacific Islanders. If it's not social, it's not fun, and they won't go. You know, going by themselves is not, also, just the issues, the differences between men and women American Indian, men and women have the same definition of health, but if you saw an obese woman and obese men, who would you criticize more? So it would almost seem that amongst the men, and you know, if there's an obese woman, you know, okay, there's an issue there. But if there's an obese man, it's like, oh, you know, they're okay. So, and then there's that Barbie doll syndrome where, you know, everybody has to look like the TV folks. And what are what are the chances of seeing an obese woman there? You know, just the whole the politics of size and weight amongst here in America was kind of something to deal with. Who cooks? You know, there's also the politics in the home. And for a Hispanic and Latina woman, if a man sees that a woman isn't cooking, you know, it's not his job to cook. That's not manly at all. Okay, so he'll go to McDonald's. So then there's that politics. Men don't cook. Only women cook. And that's also true in Pacific Islanders. For some of us, especially in the Tongan community, if your man cooks, he's made fun of. If his friends know, and if he does the wash, you know. So in the Pacific Islander community, you have to be really macho to accept all the teasing and things like that if they know that you cook. So there's a problem there. Also in the African community, the men work so hard for the family. The wife prepares meal for the family. Even if the wife works too, you know, she still comes home and prepares. But then, of course, I was thinking about some of these things. I think that's probably maybe true for all communities. Yep. Edwin, your species. Sorry, just kidding. Food politics. Okay, there's also an issue with food. The role that food plays in some of these communities. For an example, in the Pacific Islander community, it represents posterity. It represents generosity, family, and community support. Food is not just for nutrition. It has much more meaning than nutrition. There's also the hospitality is extended to visitors by offering food, you know, sharing your meal. In fact, in some of the communities, if you sat down and you ate in front of other people, that's considered very rude. You know, and, of course, when you come here and people are sitting in front of you, and this is true in our Pacific Islander community, when you go to a Pacific with friends, when you eat, they will offer you food. And even though if you don't want it, they will offer it. But if you reject it, sometimes they'll think, this is in a home, if they reject it, sometimes, like says here, they'll think that food is not good enough. No, and that's why you reject it. So they're always accepting it just as a matter of being considerate and being kind. So food is a lot more than just nutrition. So in an American Indian home, real traditional food is rare on reservations, and the government has put a change to what was traditionally eaten. And so therefore some of the things that are being sold, or I guess are in the reservation, are factors in the obesity rate there. Another thing is that some of the kids start getting sore throat when they're eating canned fruits because they're not used to that kind of stuff. So canned food like that, those things are just kind of naturally tossed because it's not the natural thing that these people are used to. Africans are healthy in Africa, and some of the things that they found that are different is that when they come here, many of them have diabetes, and they often feel that it's because of the change of their diet into the processed food and the high sugary content that's in American food, and fatty content, so that they feel that the changes diet is also has effect on their health here. Exercise. And talking to some of these women, for some of the cultures, they felt that if you're of a higher status in the community or in that, in your community, sedentary lifestyle is expected. Like as you get older, an older woman is not expected to go out and exercise or expected to get up and serve herself in the food, the very simplest of things. The children are supposed to go and bring stuff and serve. You've earned the right to sit still and not do nothing. So that's an honor to be sedentary. Healthy is also feeling no pain. If you don't feel any pain, then you must be healthy. And so that's another reason why prevention is also an issue. So a lot of people, some of our women don't get to the doctor until it's too late. Several cases, many cases as far as breast cancer, where women have had their breasts removed or died because, you know, they wait until it's too late. They don't go do the annual checkup and things like that. That's not expected because you don't feel it and it's not there. And girls, another thing is that girls, some of the studies that we've done, we've seen that as girls started out, in elementary, junior high, they're really active. And once they get into high school, all of a sudden, and as they get closer, their rate of physical activity drops. Girls are not expected or are not encouraged to play out in the sun in the Pacific Islander community because they're going to get darker, you know, and darker supposedly is not attractive. And so that plays into that. So that is an issue too amongst Pacific Islanders and also other cultures. Health is not an intentional priority, which we've mentioned in some of the things, and these are some of the barriers. They don't know anything about a lot of our community people. They really don't know anything about the illnesses. Even those who have had, like for example, diabetes for years and years and years, they do not know that what their body is doing, how their pancreas is not producing the insulin. All they know is that they have suka or diabetes, sugar, and all they know is that they have to, you know, pop a pill or shoot the insulin. Other than that, they do not know what's going on inside their body, which oftentimes, when we could see the difference in our community, when people that are educated about the fact that they have to manually inject their insulin and how important that is to their life, they are pretty consistent. So those women, to the other women who do not have any idea what's happening in their body, the timing and taking the insulin, popping their pill is just whenever they remember type stuff. And then they go to the buffet and, you know, sit there and drink tons of soda and things like that. They just don't realize the difference. And then they think that the pill or the insulin later is going to help, you know. Also in the U.S., the cost of health is also quite an issue here in the United States. We've had a couple of women that moved in from Australia, some Pacific Islanders, and when it was time, when one of their sons got sick, one of the things she thought of immediately was, what am I going to pay? Do I have the money to pay this? Whereas in Australia, in her comparison, she said, in Australia, I wouldn't have a second thought. I would take them. So, let's see, I think I talked too much here. Prepare medicine, okay, let's see. Education of women. This is the women on the healthy families. And let me just go back here. Some of the recommendation. I think most of these things, the language barriers, helping with language barriers, encouraging people to do prevention care. Some of them was like, other recommendations was like, blow up the TV, you know, get healthier. So they had some really great recommendation. I think they were kind of like, some of them were typical, some of them were different things. And the last piece here is the call to action. Learn and understand the underlying determinants of the different cultures that are out there in order to provide the assistance and the help that is necessary to help these women. And of course, that's what we do with our community wellness coaches. And then to promote the education of the women, and then address the barriers. And then last but not least, and so important, is that the community gets to be a part, an equal partner in determining these solutions. Thank you.